A minister's wife was very frugal, and she was a wonder at conserving food and rarely threw anything away. At one meal, she served her husband nothing but leftovers that he viewed with great unhappiness. He began to pick at the food, causing his wife to say, "Dear, you forgot to say grace before meals." He said to her, "Listen, honey, if you can show me one item that hasn't been blessed at least two times, I can't see how another blessing could help." Well, in today's gospel, we have lots of leftovers because of the great miracle, the loaves and the fish that the Lord worked. The Lord was able to feed 5,000 people with the five loaves and two fish. And there were 12 baskets left over. It was a great miracle, so much of a miracle that they wanted to make him a king. Now, sometimes you'll hear progressive theologians try to say, "Oh, this miracle never really happened. Jesus gave such a great sermon that everybody who was very selfish just took out their own picnic baskets and began to share everything." That obviously violates and goes against what the scripture tells us, that it was a great miracle. And so much so that the people were so excited that they were going to make him their king, because they had witnessed this incredible miracle, being able to feed 5,000 men, probably at least that many women and children as well. It was an incredible event that took place that day. Well, this really foreshadows a greater miracle that occurs in every Catholic church, at every Catholic Mass. And that miracle, of course, is transubstantiation, where the bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, divinity of Christ. And how you and I, and all the Catholic churches of the world, can receive Jesus at the same time. Just as Jesus fed 5,000 people with those five loaves and two fish, ordinary bread, he does something more spectacular. He feeds us with himself, body, blood, soul, divinity. So we can go into any Catholic church, pray before any tabernacle, go to an adoration chapel. We can come to Mass and receive the same Jesus. Each one of us can receive the complete and total Christ in his glorified, resurrected body under the appearances of bread and wine. And notice in the scripture today that the Lord was so concerned with the leftovers, with the fragments. Well, if he was concerned about the fragments of ordinary bread, how much more so should we as Catholics be concerned about the Blessed Sacrament? To always respect and reverence the Blessed Sacrament, to make sure not a particle falls to the ground, that not a fragment falls to the ground. That's why we have to, of course, receive the Lord so faithfully and so reverently, and to be careful of the particles and the fragments of the consecrated host, because in each visible particle is the body, blood, soul, divinity of Christ. Now, this was a great miracle that we see in today's scripture. But in the last 2,000 years, the church has had many Eucharistic miracles that can strengthen our faith. We think of what occurred in the life of St. John Bosco, the great priest of the 19th century. He was saying Mass for 600 boys. He had a boys' school for orphans. And he had come to the end of the Mass and was about to distribute communion. And he realized that the sacristan had not put the ciborium of 600 hosts on the altar to be consecrated. So he went to the tabernacle. And again, a picture of a church filled with 600 young men. He went to the tabernacle, opened it up, and there was only a ciborium with 20 hosts that had been consecrated at the previous Mass. So he took them out, and he said a prayer. And he began to distribute communion to all the boys as they knelt along the altar rail. Each boy received a host. And at the end, he looked down, there was still one left. That's what we call a Eucharistic miracle. Again, just as Jesus multiplied the loaves and fish, Jesus worked a miracle again in the 19th century so that each one of them could receive communion that day. In our back sacristy, we have a painting of another Eucharistic miracle that occurred in the life of St. Anthony of Padua. St. Anthony was in southern France preaching, and an unbeliever, an atheist, a heretic, said, "I don't believe that Jesus is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament." And St. Anthony said, "Well, even a donkey can see the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament." And so they did a test. They had a little debate in the town square. And St. Anthony told the heretic to bring his donkey in a couple days, and to not feed the donkey for a couple days, and to bring some hay and some oats and place it on one end of the square, and St. Anthony would bring the Blessed Sacrament. He would carry the Eucharist and the monstrance, and then we would see what this donkey would do. And so the unbeliever said, "Oh, this is perfect. I'll be able to do this." And so 3 days later, he brought his donkey that had not eaten in 3 days, brought all the hay and the oats and placed it there. St. Anthony came out with the carrying the Blessed Sacrament. And immediately, the donkey was brought out and looked over at the food and then turned to St. Anthony carrying Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and it folded up its front legs and bowed its head before Christ. The unbeliever was converted, as well as hundreds of others who witnessed this event in the town square. In Siena, Italy, you can go to a church where they have a Eucharistic miracle. In fact, there's 130 Eucharistic miracles throughout the world. You can go on a website and just type in Eucharistic miracles and read these accounts and see photographs of some of these Eucharistic miracles. The one that occurred in Siena occurred in the year 1730, when some men broke into the Catholic Church, pried open the tabernacle, stole the Blessed Sacrament, and on their way out, they dumped the consecrated host in the poor box, and they took the gold ciborium. Eventually, they discovered that the host had been in the poor box. This kind of box was only opened once a year. It was very dirty and dusty, so the priest then very carefully cleaned each of the hosts, but they did not consume them. They decided to put them in a ciborium and place them back in the tabernacle and let them disintegrate naturally on their own over time, figuring that within a few weeks or a few months they would obviously disintegrate. Well, 5 years went by, the hosts were still perfectly preserved, 50 years went by, 100 years went by, it's been over 250 years, and that container of hosts is still perfectly intact. All the hosts are still fresh, they've never corrupted, they've never disintegrated. The scientists did some studies and took the same kind of bread and placed it next to it in the same tabernacle, in the same conditions. Within a few months, those hosts were disintegrated. But these have lasted 250 years. Some of the popes, some of the saints have received communion of these incorrupt hosts, and everyone has testified that it's perfectly fresh. And a great miracle, which we call the continuing presence of Jesus in those consecrated hosts. You can go there today in Siena and see that. Just outside of Rome is a town called Orvieto. In Orvieto, in the year 1263, a Catholic priest was saying Mass. He began to doubt the real presence of Christ. The host began to bleed, and it bled upon the corporal. Well, this corporal was now preserved in the cathedral, and you can go see it today. Pope Paul VI went there to venerate the precious blood of Christ in the year 1964. He flew there by helicopter, the first pope ever to fly in a helicopter. So he visited this Eucharistic miracle. And lastly, a third one that I recommend is the most powerful one. It's the most ancient of all Eucharistic miracles. The miracle of Lanciano in Italy. And it occurred in the year 700 AD when a priest, again, was saying Mass. After the consecration of the bread and wine, he doubted that it was truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And before his very eyes and the eyes of the congregation, the host became visible flesh and the wine blood. And it's been preserved now and kept for 1,200 years without any kind of preservatives or artificial preservatives. It's remained this way for 1,200 years. You can go and venerate it and get a couple feet away from it and see this Eucharistic miracle. In 1970, the church allowed scientific testing of the elements. And the scientists, many of them were not believers, not Catholic, not Christian, determined that it truly was true flesh and true blood, and that it was from the type AB positive. Both the flesh and the blood contained AB positive blood type, which is the same as in Orvieto and on the Shroud of Turin as well. And then the flesh was actually muscular heart tissue from the Sacred Heart of Christ. What a beautiful image that is for us to be able to think of that, that it truly is the true flesh and blood of our Lord Jesus. And the scientists have tested it. The properties, the chemicals, the proteins are all identical to fresh, normal blood, even though it's 1,200 years old. So again, these things are possible to visit. When you're on a pilgrimage, you can actually see these. Or I'd recommend getting some books, reading about the Eucharistic miracles. This one is Bob and Penny Lord's book, This is My Body, This is My Blood. There's an entire book of Eucharistic miracles. We have videos in the library about that. Or again, just go to the websites and type in Eucharistic miracles. And to help strengthen and increase our faith, why does God work these miracles? Well, I think it's because the faith of many Catholics is weak, and He wants to strengthen our faith in the real presence. And so He allows, on a very rare occasion, these miracles to occur. And as Bob and Penny Lord said in their book, it says, these have brought about the conversions of many people to the Catholic faith and the renewed belief in the real presence among Catholics. It has strengthened the faith of thousands, even millions of people, because these Eucharistic miracles have endured for centuries. They remain a testimony by God to one of the most basic truths of our faith, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, not only in Bethlehem, but in every Catholic tabernacle. God bless you.